But as I said earlier, later in the show, I'm being joined by two-thirds of Placebo. They're going to be answering my questions and your questions. And that was making me chuckle during that Smith song, because it says, I'm going to meet the one I love at last. And judging from all your emails, you love Placebo as much as I do. So it's going to be an exciting night. There's already a crowd gathered outside the studio, chanting, we want Brian, we want Brian. But you have to wait. There, that goes out to Brian Moco, and also to some of the Placebo fans who emailed us, like Chloe Govan and Malilia Gleason, I think it says here. Malilia Gleason, who's a huge Nirvana fan, Nirvana Placebo fan, from Nebraska. So, hello Malilia, and she says, visit my, don't panic, visit Careening, a Placebo site, which is at www.webpages.charter.net. Millilia, I guess, put careening into your browser and it will find it, and you spell that as in C-A-R-E-E-N-I-N. Because joining me in the studio, I've got Steve Hewitt and Brian Moco from Placebo. Boys, thank you very much for joining me.
Hello. How are
where's,
you,
where's Steph?
Steph's in Sweden at the moment, visiting his Viking friends.
And you couldn't fly him over especially
for
the show.
He's on a boat hotel.
Is he?
In the middle of like Lake Stockholm or something, and this hotel on a boat which moves. And he called me from it and he says he doesn't know if he's going to stay there for very long because he's getting a bit seasick in his hotel room.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That's honest truth.
And there goes a big silence.
Yeah, Dad.
This is my second interview, so you have to bear with me. I did Phil Oakey from the Human League, and he was so lovely, he was so patient, but we can cut out all these things and I'll look really good by the time it comes up. You'll look awful, but I'll look really good. Okay, so the first thing I did when I was researching the show was typing Placebo into search engine on the internet. And of course, loads and loads of Placebo sites came up, and chat rooms and all of that, but also loads and loads of medical sites because of the medical reference. Why did you pick that name?
Well, names for bands are kind of, it's a really difficult thing to do. You spend a long time trying to find one that you think is like absolutely amazing, and you end up sticking with one that you think's all right. You know, it kind of sticks with you after a while. The main criteria for a good name is that you can imagine 40,000 people screaming it in unison. And so like a three-syllable name, you know, it's perfect for that.
Okay.
You know, afterwards when you get asked in interviews, you need to make up stuff about why you chose it. So you go like, oh, well, the deceptive nature of the name, all that stuff, you know, comes into play. But really it's just something that it's a series of sounds that you associate with music. Like when I first heard the name The Butthole Surfers, I thought about what the Butthole Surfers meant.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, they just became the buttholes to me. You know, the guys who did Lady Sniff.
It takes on a life of its own
exactly.
After a while, yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Okay. So, new album, where is it? We're waiting.
It's in our heads.
It's in our heads. It's in the pipeline.
Any tracks down yet? Or
well, we finished the world tour last October, so we're in the middle of our 6 month sort of sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that at the moment. Mm. So we've put new tracks down. Just taking a break, really.
Okay. No working title or anything.
No. We demoed a few songs when we came off tour, just to capture the stuff that we've been playing at sound checks. You know, capture quite freshly. And then we've all been kind of like setting up our own little studios in our own houses. So we're kind of being creative that way. And we've got the same technology which we can share, so one person has an idea and you can take it around to the other person's house, and we're kind of writing that way.
Is there a lot of pull in different directions from your different kind of, because you like a bit of soul and funk, I've read, and
it was reared on sort of American alternative music, Jane's Addiction, Pixies and Sonic Youth, and Stefan's a huge ABBA fan, obviously, because of his culture and but an electronic thing to the mix. I think it's just really positive because, you know, it's different than being four guys who grew up in the same suburb of Birmingham, you know, kind of thing, watching Top of the Pops and changing their haircuts together. And
I think it adds to your global appeal, doesn't it,
absolutely,
as well?
Yeah.
A different cultural background.
It's, you know, we like to think of ourselves as a rock and roll band, you know, but that's influenced by all forms of music, really.
Now, I read somewhere that one of the seven deadly Placebo sins is retro. Is that true, or...?
I think we were talking about that in terms of Brit rock, in terms of rock and roll music, do you know what I mean? I mean,
okay.
There's certain aspects of of like recent kind of Brit rock, which has been retro and good. It's like for example, Swastika Eyes by Primal Scream.
Fantastic,
you know,
yeah.
Like sounded to me like had serious like Sylvester influence in there, you know, kind of thing. It definitely did, or Donna Summer's "I Feel Love," you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was all wrapped up in the whole Oasis and Blur thing for me. You know, it's kind of the Kink small faces and all that on the Blur side, you know, and kind of this the rock and roll cliche that Oasis were kind of were becoming. And I think we kind of reacted against that to try and kind of, if we were to use any kind of retro influences, they would have to be quite, you know, obscure and not obvious, you know, and not necessarily rock and roll.
Yeah.
Well, then you can clear this up for me, because I had a row with my ex-boyfriend, mm-hmm. who's not a Placebo fan, and I am, but he does like Slave to the Wage. And I said, that's because that is a disco record. To me, that sounds like a rock and roll disco record.
Well,
yes or no?
It's got an element. It
will have the element in there, because that's something which is part of us, definitely.
To me,
Every Year Every Me definitely has a disco feel to it. It's got a disco drum beat. Mm. And we said that a great deal when we were recording it, when we did Without You I'm Nothing, you know. So it finds its way in through Steve's drumming, you know.
Did you hear that, Phil? Okay, I won. I won that one. Okay, you got the dog,
somebody's
you got
won
the house.
This one, definitely, yeah.
Okay. Get some other ones out here. Right, yeah, you have worked with so many different people. You've toured at the beginning of your career with U2 and Ash and people like that.
Yeah.
Obviously David Bowie. And now people are touring, you know, as your support. You've also worked with some brilliant producers and stuff like that. Who's the most memorable? Who's you know, not influenced you the most, but who do you remember most?
It's
got to
be DB,
really.
Yeah.
It's Bono and DB.
Yeah.
All of them.
It's got to
be. People are amazing characters.
We had some really good quality time with David Bowie.
Yeah. You know, is he a good guy?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I mean, he's a gentleman.
It's a bit of a charmer.
Charms the pants off you.
But he's a motor mouth, and so you have to tell him to shut the fuck up. Say, David, I am talking now. Please listen.
Oh, my God. Telling David Bowie to shut up. Which brings me, actually, to an email question. We'll do more of these in a minute. But where are we? Did you actually tell him he couldn't record one of your songs?
Well, sort of. What it was, we decided that we were going to do 20th Century Boy for the Brits, because we covered it for Velvet Goldmine. And Bowie actually, instead of doing that one, he wanted to do Without You I'm Nothing.
Okay.
And I said to him, well, there's like a history of cover versions of English artists at the Brits, you know, kind of thing, which would fit him better with if we did 20th Century Boy. And also, it's more an upbeat song and it's a party, so, you know. So let's do 20th Century Boy, David. But let's record Without You I'm Nothing as a single, kind of thing, which we eventually did. So it's like half true. You know?
Okay, half true. Not the big row that I thought it might have been then.
No.
Damn.
No.
Let's move on to the email questions now. Dan in San Francisco. My question for the band is what reaction they're getting to Tasting Men being used on the new Nissan Altima TV commercial. Suddenly their music is receiving saturation airplay in the US. And what has been the fan reaction to that?
Well, it's fantastic, but, you know, it's just... And our record company are doing squat about it.
So you haven't given permission for this necessarily?
No, we did it kind of independently.
Yeah.
Really.
It's just we finished touring. This is starting. Taste of Men's being used since about February.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the beginning of this month and end of January. So we're actually quite away and isolated from it. Really. It's just we've had a few phone calls from friends in America who's going. It's all over the place, but I don't know. It'd be nice to. It's good to know that people are picking up on it.
Yeah,
now, really.
Doing ads is, you know, people have different political kind of like, you know, feelings about it, really, whether or not you should or shouldn't do it.
It's
but you know,
and, go, yeah.
And I think again, it has to be very situation specific. We're in a situation where basically, we could have, I think, had a great deal more exposure if certain other elements were in place in the US, and so like Moby. Nobody was really playing the records, and so the only way to kind of get...
That was written for adverts, I think.
Yeah, well, the way that you get your music heard is in somewhere that's as important as the States is through something like that. And in a way, you know, it's a bit of a middle finger to the American non-believers.
Yeah.
You know?
So when you go back, if you go back,
which
somebody asks in a minute, but you're possibly going to be playing bigger bigger arena.
Yeah, hopefully.
Open.
Yeah.
But there will be people coming going, I just came here to hear the Nissan adverts. that's the flip side of it. You know, it's what happened to the Verve with Bittersweet Symphony.
Yeah. Right. And also, some fans might not go. They might think you're selling out.
Maybe, but
I mean, I think in the long run, it sort of crosses over and does open up your audience, really.
I don't think it has the same negative stigma in the US that it does.
Okay. It's not like you're actually driving the car either.
No,
you're sitting there
drive.
With a can of Coke in your hand. You can't drive.
No, I can't drive.
Okay.
No.
Tim in Bernal Heights says, Brian, you did some modelling for Gucci a while back and wondered if you had any upcoming collaborations with the fashion world.
I did some modelling for Calvin Klein as well, but that never came out, you know, when they were doing the whole musicians photograph collection.
Yeah.
Kim Gordon did it and Shirley Manson did it. And that was... the reason I don't think they came out is because they kind of wanted me to be a boy and I didn't want to wear any men's clothes and I just went around and sort of got all the short skirts and stuff like that. It wasn't...
And what about you, Steve? Would you do some modelling if they asked you?
I mean, we all did the Gucci thing. I was for GQ. That was a while ago. It was a couple of years, but we all joined in on that. So.
Do you ever get slightly jealous of this, you know, this one here getting all the attention, getting all the free dresses?
It's cool.
Okay, and
Brian's good at dealing with all that. So
okay,
he's all in the mouth.
Tim also wants to know when are you going back to the US?
Well, I think we're going to start touring again in 2003. I think the rest of this year is just going to be a recording and writing. Yeah.
Okay, because you work pretty hard, don't you? If you're not touring, you're recording.
It's the first break we've taken for God, it must be six, seven years.
It was necessary. This is we're really relaxing now. Men of leisure.
Yeah.
To a certain degree.
Recouping, getting our friends back and stuff like
that. Yeah, I think you need to. You need to do it. You need to stay in touch with what's important as well.
You've got to learn from your past. You know, too many rock stars have burnt out because of it. So, you know, just plenty of time.
Well, that's the question I had.
Sorry, the important thing I was just going to say is that you don't work your ass off and then realize that you have no life at the end of it.
That's true.
And if you have no life, then you have no inspiration and you haven't been living. Then what are you going to write about? The color of your tour bus?
Yeah.
I can't take a shit on the bus.
kind
of thing. It's not very, it just doesn't give you a lot of material to work with, so it's important to go away and live again for a while.
Absolutely. Well, that's cleared up a question I was just about to ask you. So.
Cool.
We're talking to Placebo. Let's hear the Lee Vibrator remix of Black Eyed. How wasn't that brought out over here?
Well, I tried to, I think we serviced it to radio, but they didn't pick it up because it was like kind of the fourth single. The album campaign pretty much was stopped around Special K when our most poppy song off the album with our most expensive, amazing, glamorous video just got completely snubbed by the media over here because it had a drug reference in the title. Mm. You know what I mean? And so many songs by The Offspring and so much rap and hip hop, you know, has, you know, it, drug references and misogynistic references in it, and they totally fall through the net, and like people go, oh, Special K, can't play that on CD UK, can't play that on Radio 1 kind of thing. But in the rest of Europe, it was, you know, it was released as a single simply because, you know, there's a longer shelf life for an album there. It's less fickle people wanted more. And we tried to service the remix to radio hoping that would get some play because like XFM and stuff like that play a lot of remixes, but I think people pretty much just figured that we'd gone away for a while by that point. So,
well, it's huge on the dance floor, pop stars. It's a massive success.
It's a great remix, and Dimitri Tikhovoy, who is behind the Vibrator, is bringing out an album called. I don't know what it is. I think it's just called the Vibrator, but it's a concept album about pornography. And I do a track on it.
Steve's eyes just lit up at the word pornography there.
Just looking at this dream, London Day, and then pornography comes in.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
I did a track on it called The Metric System, which is about a gay guy in LA who freezes his sperm and sells it to celebrity lesbians. You know, it's kind of inspired by the whole Melissa Etheridge, David Crosby kind of thing. And who else is on it? John Cale is on it. Does a track called Don't Sit There, It's Wet.
Well, I was going to say that to you, Steve, actually, but you chose the right end of the couch.
I just want to say, I have to say that this is, it's wonderfully purple in here, and I keep expecting Prince to walk in any minute.
Yeah, he's actually lying on the couch next to you. You just can't see him. Steve, do you have a lot of like influence on who produces stuff? Because I know you've got, you know, you're heavily into, you know, the production side and stuff like that.
Well, it's just basically the way we work. It's democracy. It's a three-way thing. We share ideas production-wise and studio-wise, and we all sort of throw the ideas around for producers and things like that. So,
yeah, we're all mobiles ringing. Who's that?
Celeste.
Yeah, it's the producer.
But, you know, we still have our head-to-heads in studios and go, yes, no, and then leave stuff and go back to it. So,
and is there anybody you'd really like to work with?
There's a lot of producers I think we'd like to work with. It's just whether they like to work with us, I think. But musicians-wise, I mean, it'd be good to do something with PJ Harvey and, you know, lots of collaborations we'd love to do.
Yeah.
Marianne Faithfull, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Have you heard the remix album?
We've heard the new album.
We've heard new albums.
It's on,
not remix, yeah, collaboration album.
Yeah. Beck and Billy Corgan and Blur. Yeah, it's some of it's really, really excellent. She's on our label now, so that, you know, we're going to mail her.
I've seen her knickers.
Have you?
Yeah, backstage at So Graham Norton, I saw her, they were putting a microphone on her, and I got a flash of her knickers.
Somebody else that I think is really interesting at the moment, and I recommend this album, it's called The Teachers of Peaches, and her name is Peaches, she works with Gonzalez a lot, she's a Canadian who lives in Berlin.
Yeah.
The album's called Teachers of Peaches, she's fantastic.
And that's a big fusion of different music styles as well, isn't it?
It's called Total Female Empowerment as well, so I thoroughly recommend it, and I'd love to work with her.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so, Evil Dildo, mad fans, have you got a lot of them?
Yeah.
It's just goes hand in hand with a job for some reason. We are like...
Weirdo magnets.
Weirdo magnets,
totally. But that makes it very... very entertaining for you, you know, as a musician, as the object of obsession. It does bring a giggle.
But did you not think that writing a song about people that, I don't know, are hassling you or stalking you or whatever you want to call it, is actually giving them something a bit more?
Well, you mean that kind of, you making a reference to the death threats, which are at the end of Evil Dildo?
Yeah.
Well, that was done more out of anger, you know, I was getting these kind of death threats through a voice distorter on my answer machine, you know, kind of thing. And it's obvious that it was somebody in the music business, otherwise they wouldn't have been able to get hold of my phone number.
Right.
So,
very
strange.
Celeste, was it you?
Not this time.
Not this time.
Again, it was kind of like a middle finger. It's like, well, you can't tell, you can't reveal your identity, so we're going to take your death threats, put them on the record, and make money out of them.
Okay.
You know, kind of thing. It's just like that. Apart from that, I don't think we've actually kind of like written about stalking necessarily. I think so.
Okay.
If anything, it's challenging.
Yeah, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, that would scare the life out of me. What I like about that is it's an interpretation. It's not an out-and-out cover version like. Sorry, I'm always slagging these guys off. I hope you don't like them. The Stereophonics, Handbags and Glad Rags. Sounds like it's Rod Stewart doing it.
Rod Stewart, yeah.
Yeah, and that's
Brian
disgraceful.
Adams covers band.
Yeah, it's disgraceful. I mean, did you pick that song? Because it actually sounded... You could have written that with, like, the Joan of Arc references and the, you know, the hearing aid.
We were approached by a French magazine to do this Smiths 10th anniversary, the Smiths is Dead CD. And, so we're on the tour bus knocking around with songs we could do, and we got the list of what people had chosen, and we realized that nobody had chosen Big Mouth, one of our favorites, and we're like, oh, they must think it's too much of a challenge then, right? Here we go. That was the main reason. It's like, let's take on this kind of quite monstrous song, but let's not totally ruin it.
No.
Like, I think some bands did, like Biss, for example, did
the boy with a thorn in his side, yeah.
It was a horrendous version.
I like Biss, but I don't like that particularly, I have to say, yeah. Okay, so what other stuff, you mentioned Marianne Faithfull you like, PJ Harvey you like, what other stuff's around at the moment that's kind of turning you on?
Princess Superstar.
I'm
getting $6 an hour. I'm a bad babysitter, got my boyfriend in the shower.
Yeah,
what a bargain.
I saw her at Jarvis's Club, and she was very, very good. And I don't know who the black guy is that sings with her, but he was fantastic. In fact, I was watching him more. He was really, really charismatic. But together they work really well.
So I listen to a lot of hip-hop at the moment, kind of thing, and sort of and things like Boys of Canada and Calexico.
Okay.
It's kind of quite, kind of all the Mexican music. which is quite nice.
Okay. It's got quite dancey actually in the last 6 months. I've been hanging around with Darren Emerson quite a lot, so I've been clubbing a lot.
Okay.
And dragging Brian out as well. So we've been getting like Prophets of Sound and been sent a lot of stuff from the Distinctive label. So a lot of their dance stuff has been
Do you like, there's a lot of 80s kind of like electro sound stuff coming out at the moment. Do you like that?
We do like that a lot, actually. We like the old school sort of hip-hop, and it's like Shout the Conk as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, yeah, it's good.
I like that lady
80s.
As well.
Love the 80s.
Yeah, they're quite a good classic kind of
I can't stand them. I fucking sent that. I can't stand it. I admit, it does sound a bit like De La Soul or something. Yeah. It doesn't sound like contemporary, but no, gets on my nerves. Okay, let's have something that doesn't get on my nerves. Pure Morning.
Oh, the Pure Morning, a Hanover Grand.
Ah. What's the link?
Yeah,
you saw that.
Were you there? No, you heard about it though. Yeah, well, yeah. Tony Tamborine, our friend, had a karaoke birthday 30th party here at the Hanover Grand. And when he found out that Pure Morning was actually on the karaoke machine, you know, we were dragged off the stage.
No!
We were in the studio, and so we were concentrating on new music, and so I just didn't know any of the words. And thank God they were flashing up on the screen. But halfway through, he got bored and just started rapping. You know? Somebody said it was a Dumpy's Rusty Nuts version of Pure Morning. Stood in the line. It was
very drunk.
Very
How
terrible.
Can you forget the words? I mean, yeah, loads of your songs are really complex, but that's quite simple.
Yeah, no, well, you know.
Yeah, but it's straight out of the blue, you know, it's like, you know.
On the spot.
On the spot. It's kind of, you know, you can't even see the screen.
The video, yeah, thank you. Yes.
And we got caught by the music press on that, and pictures were printed the next week, and that was it.
Funny.
We got really stuffed.
Okay, now I want to play a game with you guys here. I was on, I'm not sure, placebo.world, is that your actual official website?
I'm not sure. Placebo World, yeah.
Placebo World, yeah. There's a placebo quiz on there, and I want to see how well you will do. Some of these are very easy, but I bet you get at least one of them wrong. So there's 9 questions here. Let's start with Brian, and we'll go 1, 1, 1, 1. Okay, on what track can you find Needle Dick as a B-side?
Ooh.
Come on now.
You don't care.
No, Pure Morning.
Morning, okay.
Stephen. Oh, this is easy. Who in the band is Swedish?
Steph.
Yes. Brian, finish this lyric. Just swallowed half my stash. Who directed the video for 36 Degrees?
Oh shit, I've got Trevor.
No, Chris Cunningham. Come on.
Oh, what's in the band then?
Hey. Oh, well, that's all right then. I'll let you off. What James Bond character was a Placebo song?
Miss Moneypenny.
Number 6. Who can be found on the cover of Placebo's first album?
Oh,
photographers.
Sol Fletcher's, who was the photographer, his cousin.
Well, I've just got a little boy, that would have done, but yeah, okay. Which track follows Spite and Malice on Black Market Music?
Passive Aggressive.
Blue American?
This is your question, so I have to take your answer.
Blue American.
No. Okay. Passive Aggressive. Steve got that right. Complete the lyric, a friend that's dressed in... Steve.
Madness. Leather.
Leather, yeah. So you got it right this time. He's definitely winning, Brian. This is shameful, shameful. And the last one, which member of Placebo keeps goldfish?
Steph.
Yeah, Steph. Okay, you scored a measly 6 out of 10 there, so I'm sure Placebo fans everywhere are wincing as they...
We are on holiday, though.
Yeah, you're on holiday, that's fine. You're listening to the Popstar Show on Purple Row. Brian, I've read loads of different articles about you and your sexuality. What are you, gay, bi, straight, or asexual? Trisexual, try anything. try it twice, just to be sure. Okay, that was actually from my sister. Yeah, she's got a huge crush on you. And she's a lesbian, so there you go.
Lovely.
I don't know what that says. Does it bother you, actually, having, you know, talking about your sexuality? People seem very, very interested in it.
No, I'm just surprised. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. You know, if it did, I don't think, you know, I would have sort of come out at such a young age and such a sort of in front of the media sort of about it.
Yeah.
It was very, very necessary. It doesn't bother me. I'm just kind of surprised that people are so interested.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And because for me, it's just really no big deal.
I think it shows that times have really changed, because, you know, I'm not comparing you to Freddie Mercury, but way back then people didn't want to know anything about his private life, you know. And now...
The thing was, is I remember growing up, like, my mother's, like, very religious, and I remember kind of, like, when the video for Ashes to Ashes
why,
came out, you know.
Why are you laughing in the
background? He's getting all fruity in the purple room.
Okay.
Can I go back?
Sorry.
The video for Ashes to Ashes would come on, and my mum would go, oh no, that's awful, you know what I think? But then, like, really like the Village People and Boy George, and it's going, like, oh, hasn't the penny dropped? What do you mean the Village People are gay?
I'm not gay, but I think Brian is hot. Am I the only one? Any Nancy boys out there apart from me? But this is the bit I like. Right at the very end, he puts Placebo Rock, like, totally. So does that. You know, is that interesting?
Yeah, that's great.
Sorry, I'm all on his sexuality now, Steve.
No, it's
sorry.
It's really good. It's really positive that sort of that, you know, that men who consider themselves to be straight, you know, feel relaxed enough to appreciate male, dare I say, beauty.
That's cool. Dare I say it, beauty. Yeah. He says with a flutter of his eyelids.
No, it's just, you know, I think it's just... It promotes tolerance, really.
Yeah.
And I think that's extremely important.
It's probably good for their sexual relationships with women as well, I would have
probably,
thought.
Yeah.
You know, to explore that side of themselves. I like something that Chris Cornell from Soundgarden said, though. He said, I explored my feminine side. This was around the time when, you know, Kurt was wearing dresses and everything. Mm-hmm. I explored my feminine side and found out she was a dyke. I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, Jason in Edinburgh. What celebrity buddies have you made since becoming famous? Ooh, apart from Celeste.
Well, we just get horribly accused of name-dropping then, you know.
Oh, name-drop, go on.
No.
Oh, whoa. Look, they've gone. You can ask him about sucking willies, but you can't ask him about...
Well, you can say it's a violation of those people's sort of things, really. It's kind of... It's just a weird thing, right? Kind of.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Well, I was hanging out with quite a famous... very close friend of mine last week, you know, but she's extremely special woman, and I have great respect for her and love and admiration. That's Agnes B, and she's a very, very good friend of mine. So
okay.
That's an example, you know. But we're not into each other because we're famous, you know. It's just kind of like-minded people, really.
Is it harder to make friends now you are recognised? You know,
certain things that have changed. Some people have changed their attitude towards you, I suppose, but it's actually easier hanging out with other people in bands because
they understand. You have a lot in common.
Exactly.
Okay, this one's for Steve from Paul in Sutton. What music do you put on when you're at home chilling out?
It's just been a lot of dance music lately. Either that or just dig into my old funk records. Sly Stone is usually first out and then followed by anything else funky.
He completes his question with, and what do you shag to?
Oh, probably loads of dance music and funk, yeah. She's usually DJ.
Really
he's always shagging.
Too busy. Got my hands full.
Okay, you're listening to the Popstar Show on Purple Radio. This is Tommy Turntables. I'm sitting here with Placebo. Join us in a minute after these important words got earlier, which was very, very embarrassing. Now, guys, or Brian, you've got a club starting. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, it's called Intravenous, because that's a very Spinal Tap name.
Yeah.
And it was inspired by a drinking accident on tour by one of the organizers, who got so drunk that he woke up in a Spanish hospital on a drip without a kind of a hangover. And we were talking about trying to get a club together in the 6 months off that we were going to spend in London, just so that we could have a place that we liked, that we could hang out. And so we decided to start a doctors and nurses fetish club.
Wow.
Which is Intravenous. And obviously, if you come dressed as a doctor or a nurse or a nun or a priest or anything kind of like slightly fetish, you will get preferential treatment and you will get to jump the queue and things like that, because there's a limited amount of space.
Okay.
The music policy is going to be anything from clinical electronic to extremely kind of funky party music. The way that it differs from something like Torture Garden, for example, which is the kind of like your classic fetish club sort of thing, is that it's trying to have a sense of humor, for one, you know.
Yeah.
It's also trying to say you don't necessarily need to wear black rubber and take a bath and patchouli before you go out for it.
Yeah.
Thing. So obviously, we want to create an environment which is very free sexually, and we like to kind of like attract a mixed crowd of, like, you know, doctors and nurses loving dressing up people, transvestites, you know, straight acting people, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's about sexual freedom, and it's about having a good time and having a laugh. And so we're going to try and develop the cabaret aspect of it as well as the club gets bigger. And as far as the cabaret is concerned, my main aim is to try and get real life childbirth at one point on stage during the club, you know. But I think it's going to be difficult because we might have to induce. So I'll be DJing every third Wednesday of every month, and it's starting off at the Underworld in Camden.
Yeah.
And
when's the first one?
First one is the 23rd of February.
23rd.
And so, yeah, please dress medical. Or a fetish, and
yes, me. We see the doctor.
Will you be laying down some groove?
I'd just be putting down beers, I think, and watching my old friend Malkovich spin. I've just seen what talents there, obviously.
Yeah. What nurses are there?
Absolutely. I just want to stress, the more you dress up, the more fun you'll have.
Okay. Well, that's the day before I go to San Francisco, so I might come.
Oh, good mother.
I might come. But I don't know if I've got a doctor's uniform at home.
If you want to contact us, let me give the email.
I'm holding you to that now.
The email address is intravenous500@hotmail.com, so...
No, that sounds fun. That sounds really, really fun. I'll be there. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to drop by.
Thank you.
I will see you on the 23rd at Intravenous, even if I might have to leave early because I have...
21st. 21st of February.
Oh, the 21st. Camden Underworld. Well, it's not the day before I go to San Francisco then, so I've got no excuse not to be there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Tommy.
I got it wrong. I got it wrong. I'm teaching in Paris on the 21st. Sorry. It's the 20th.
Look, can we clarify this? It is the 20th. Wednesday the 20th.
Wednesday the 20th of February, Underworld Camden. That's the one. In Club Intravenous, Brian Walker, DJ.
And dress up. Dress up. You're going to have much more fun. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Goodbye, Purple Radio.
Purple Radio.